Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families across the country to unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. And with us today, we have Lee from the Little by Little podcast. Lee, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this conversation, Cheryl.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I was going to announce your last name, but I wasn't going to give it a try. So not that I normally do, but I was like, I couldn't if I wanted to. And I asked you last week how to pronounce it too. And I still don't even.
That's okay.
How do you say it?
Yeah. So my husband's Vietnamese. And so his family pronounces it Nguyen. And that's what we say, but I'm at the point I'll answer to anything that anybody says. And so most people just ignore
it. And
yes.
G's in there.
I can't even pronounce it the actual technical way because my mouth just doesn't make that sound. So we say Nguyen, but this is right. Just stick to Lee. You know, that's good.
So, okay, Lee, why don't you start out by telling us what got you into homeschooling and kind of like how many kids you have and their ages?
Yes. Okay. So I have 3 kids. 2 are graduated from homeschool. They're 19 and 21. And I am homeschooling my last kiddo and he is 16. So technically by state standards, 10th grade. But I mean, if you ask him, he just looks like a deer in headlights and will look at me. I'm like, kid, you're making me look bad to these people who are asking what grade you're in. So I'm like, at some point you got to catch on here. So we have been homeschooling. We're in our 13th year right now. My kids started off, I grew up going to public school. Just small little town and went to public school. So did everybody else. And when my kids became my daughter, my oldest, she's 21 now and she got to be 5. I just enrolled her in the public school that was nearby. Cute little school, great people there. And it never quite felt right to stand at the bus stop and put her on the bus. And even though the bus driver was nice and smiled, I'm like, you're essentially a stranger to me, and would send her away for the day. And it just never felt right. But to be honest, at that point, my just mentality and thinking about things, I was actually counting down to having some free time. I was just very, very overwhelmed by 3 kids and just wanted a little bit of free time. I was like, okay, I've got a couple of years. And the funny thing is it never happened because we ended up then homeschooling before I ever got to that point. So it was a little bit of, you know, God's joke on me that, you know, you think you're going to have this time, but you don't. But I'm so glad that we switched. So she went to public school through 2nd grade, and then my older son went kindergarten, and then my youngest did 1 year of preschool, and we decided to make the switch at that point to homeschooling.
What made you decide that?
So it was, like I said, it was always in my heart that it just didn't feel right for them to be apart. I was kind of battling this motherhood and the feminism that I had kind of grown up with. Not that my mom put that on me, but just the environment of being in public school and going to college and having student loans. So feeling like I have to go and have a job. I have to have a career. And so battling that, I'm like, I really like these little kids. I want to be with them. I want to be the one to mentor them and guide them. But this is what everybody else is doing. So we're just going to go ahead and do that. And it was probably about halfway through her 2nd grade year. And we're a Christian family. And I just felt like God was saying, this isn't for you. You need to do something different. And I was like, homeschool? Are you crazy? I had one friend who homeschooled. And I had been telling her for years, oh, I could never do that. And so the funny thing is that I could do it. Everybody can do it. Anybody who wants to homeschool can do it. It's just deciding. Yeah. That's the first step, is mom deciding to do it. And so I approached my husband. And he knows me very well and knew me very well then. And he was like, you're crazy. That's not something that I see you doing. But I trust you that if you say you're going to do it and you think you can do it, then okay, he was on board. And so we began that shift. We decided to not pull them out during that year. I really wanted to. I was so excited. We decided to let them finish it out and then just start fresh with the new homeschool year with a 3rd grader and a 1st grader and then a preschooler.
So did you have to leave a job to stay home with them?
No, I was already home. I was already staying home. So this big career that I was going to have, I was going to break in and I was going to do something at some point. But she was about 6 months old when my husband and I decided, he came home one day because I was working just part-time then. And so he was working overnight. So he'd come home in the morning and he would take care of her in the morning. And then I would come home after working. So I'd be home early afternoon and then I would take her and he'd go to sleep. And we never really saw each other. And since he worked a 3rd shift, the weekends were always off. He was tired. It just never. And he came home one day and he's like, you do realize that if I put in an extra hour or two of work every day, I'll get overtime pay, which is more than what you're making at your part-time job. And we wouldn't have to do this. And I was like, really? Stay home with her? Now, my mom was a homemaker. She stayed home even though we all went to school. And so I was very familiar with what you would do. And she was very, she did a lot of stuff. She was canning, she was cleaning, she was doing all kinds of stuff. So it wasn't like she was sitting around watching soap operas, which she might have, I don't know. But, you know, it wasn't like she wasn't doing anything. So I was familiar with that. And so it just kind of continued. It was a financial decision and also like a relationship decision. And it continued to be just a financial decision as opposed to both of us, you know, trying to work and then putting them in daycare. It just didn't seem to quite line up. And it was just, it was just easier for us for me to be home. So no, I didn't have to leave a job. I was already home and maybe I would have gotten a job. Maybe I would have gotten something part-time once they were all in school, but we never got to that point.
Yeah. It's for myself, it's like, it's taken a lot to wrap my head around, okay, no, you're going to actually leave your employment, which like you had mentioned before, I kind of was sold this bill of lies that like, no, women are supposed to be in the workforce going to public school. It was, well, where are you going to go to college? And then I didn't even think about the concept of then you get yourself into student loan debt. And so you are actually obligated to work to pay off that debt. And not only do you have to work to pay off the debt, but you feel like, well, I have to use the degree that I am paying for, you know, 10 years later, 30 years later. When you really start to, I don't know if it's peel back the layers or untie the cobweb, it's like, wow, either everything just fell into place like so, or there is someone behind all of this design to put women in the workforce, get a bigger tax base, get a hold of our kids earlier on, and just create the worker bee that doesn't have any time to think outside the box. So I'm doing it. And it's hard.
Yeah. It's a lot of unraveling.
You know, I can't leave a job because we need the money. And it like, you have to kind of shift your mindset around that and make do. Like you said, I was thinking about this too. I said, all right, well, maybe I could work part-time doing something. And I was trying to think of things, but my husband has unlimited overtime. And he's like, I could just work overtime, you know, unless you really want to go work, but why are you leaving your job to stay home with the kids to go find another job? You know, if I could just work an afternoon on a Saturday morning and make what you would make at a part-time job. And yeah, it takes kind of thinking those things. So how did that first year of homeschooling go? Were you happy with the way it went? Were you like, oh, this is harder than I thought?
I was so excited, probably on cloud nine. So the first thing that I ever did with homeschooling was I went to a homeschool convention. And because that happened in probably April, May or so of that year that we decided. So my kids are still in school. And so this homeschool convention was huge and it was nearby. So I got to go and I was overwhelmed at first. And I was so nervous because like I said, I had one homeschool mom friend and she was cool. She was fine. She wasn't the typical homeschool mom that you would think of. And
she didn't sew her own clothes.
No, she didn't wear a denim jumper with her, all the other, you know, all the things. And so I'm nervous going there because I feel like I'm just normal. I'm just a jeans and a t-shirt kind of girl. And I get there within an hour. I was like, I found my people. Like, these are people who want to intentionally educate and raise their kids. And that's what I wanted. And I felt like everybody else around me that I had been interacting with wasn't as intentional and or didn't speak about it. So I went to this convention and bought tons of curriculum. And so basically, what do you do in your first year of homeschool? Typically, when you have kids that have been in school and are of elementary, you know, lower or middle or upper elementary age, you just recreate the school at home. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how we started. And there was some kickback a little bit, especially from my then first grade boy, because that was just the thing. And part of the reason, like a really practical reason for bringing them home, which I can go back if that's okay, is say that my daughter was very sensitive. She was so upset on the days that they would have, she's in second grade, they're having tests. She has to go to school and have tests. And she was melting down, crying those mornings. And I was like, it's okay. It doesn't matter to me how you do in it. I was like, this is really weird that they have tests in second grade. I didn't have tests. Yeah. We were just learning how to maybe tie our shoelaces still or something. And it was just fun and playing. And so that was just so stressful for her. And I was excited to pull her out of that environment And then for my kindergarten son, he was, we'll say in quote unquote, in trouble all the time. All the time with the teacher, principal. I was like, he is going to be labeled. Like in first grade, he's going to be in the principal's office every single day. Not because he was bad. He was already reading. He was already taking off. He's like, I did the paper. Why do I have to sit here now for 10 minutes and wait for everybody else to get the paper done? I'm going to make a paper airplane, or I'm going to make silly noises, or I'm going to roll around on the floor. So just the things that boys do. And so that was part of like a practical reason for him to pull him home and just to let him be himself. And so our first year, I just recreate the school at home, and it was just an unraveling and a relearning of what education is. And this is my 13th year, and I feel like I'm finally maybe like, okay, I have my hand, you know, like a hold on it a little bit better of understanding what it is. So I say that my youngest, who never went to public school at all, I was like, he's like my ideal homeschool, you know, he's my experiment, the great experiment that I've had, because I've been able to do him all the way through and me relearning, de-schooling my mind and looking at educating them instead of just schooling them. And so the first year was, there was ups and downs, and it was a lot of adjustment to everybody being home together, but they loved it. They got along so well. They enjoyed playing with one another. And we've just kind of, every single year is different. You just kind of tweak, and because they're older and you're more mature and you have found different resources and different curriculum. And it's just been a process of relearning all that and changing my mind about education. I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I had like three more kids, because I have like a complete, I would approach it so differently.
So tell us, what would you tell, at least to the moms that have the younger kids, what would you do differently that you have learned?
I would totally step back and just chill out. Like, don't even, instead of stressing about it. So when my youngest was in kindergarten, I was like, he has to learn how to read. This is the age that you learn to read. And I did this entire phonics program, and I did all this stuff. And they have stories now. They laugh about how he would just, they all three of them learned very differently. And I would study my kids more, and I would study like, how do they learn and how do they respond best to things? But I would just chill out. So we have funny stories now of him just completely not getting it, because it's not how he learns at all, which I now see is that sitting there and doing all this book work is not necessarily how he learns. So I would, if I could go back, and it's really hard. I know it's hard when you're first starting out and your kids are young, because you don't have, you know, the hindsight's 20/20, right? You can look back and say, oh, I wish that I had, and I would feel more confident because I've gotten to the point that I can see the results, and you don't have the results on year one, year two, year three. Yeah. You don't have those results. I have those results now. I'm like, the older two are fine. And my husband sometimes is like, so about this homeschool with the 16-year-old, like, what are you, because it looks different. Instead of, So he's doing, we'll say physics right now, but I've just found books, not textbooks, just books. And we'll watch videos and try experiments. And we did chemistry last year, and there was no Bunsen burners involved. There was no memorization of all the elements, because
periodic table of elements.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember having to memorize that. I don't know why, when you would just have the, you could just have it in front of you. And so I don't understand.
That's so true.
I would cut out the forced memorization of things, because I felt like they had to know how to memorize everything. And because that's what we had, right? Going to school, it was just a forced memorization. Mm-hmm. And how much do you remember of the forced memorization? We don't remember anything.
I just remember, you know, having to learn them, but, and then they're probably all of the healthy things in that periodic table of elements, they have banned from any sort of, you know, thing that we are allowed to take now and change it to a pharmaceutical. Uh-huh. So
Exactly.
I keep coming up with these questions in my head.
Yeah.
I need to like get a pencil, because I don't want to forget them. Okay. So you talked a little bit about the physics. What does your day look like now with your 16-year-old and the homeschool? Because obviously that's going to be different. Mm-hmm. For me, with the little ones working on letters and reading, now at 16, he can read on his own. Like, what is your involvement?
Yeah, my goal is, and this, again, really depends upon the child. My daughter, when she started high school, she could be very independent and very responsible. The boys have needed more guidance, we'll say, and more oversight than maybe she did. And so it really is looking at, and this doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a girl-boy thing, and just knowing their personalities. And so my goal is for them really to know how they learn well and just really learn about themselves. What are they interested in? And I wasn't planning on doing any chemistry and well, not chemistry last year. I was going to do biology. And he was like, I really don't want to dissect a frog. And I was like, well, everybody has to dissect a frog because that's what you have to do. And he really didn't want to. He's like, I'd rather study chemistry. And so going back to the periodic table, he said something about, oh, you better put your tinfoil hat on, you know, and meaning like aluminum foil. He goes, actually, aluminum and tin are two different things. And he's explaining the difference between aluminum and tin. And I was like, okay, all right, here we are. We're like a, you know, nerdy homeschool. I'm like, okay, so it's not so I should say I put my aluminum foil, you know, hat on, not tin foil hat. And so, okay, so go wait. So I rabbit trail there. I have found my kids just overall, even when they're younger, I'd rather get them started early in the morning. As soon as we can, everybody's fresh. I've just found with my kids and their personalities, when they were younger, if I let them go for too long in the morning, it was really hard to wrangle them in for any type of formal lessons. So I line up usually Sunday. I'll take just a few minutes. I've always done this with the kids. I just look at 1 week at a time because I can look at that week and say, oh, we have dentist appointments, or we have this we have to get to, or, and whereas every week can kind of be different and things can change and shift. So if I look at that week, then I say, okay, we're going to work around what we have going on. And so I'll write out a list of whether it's pages or chapters or lessons that he needs to do. So now as him as 16, now remember, he's been homeschooled all the way through. If you are somebody who's pulling home a child from high school, it's going to look different. They might need more handholding than a kiddo who has been all the way through homeschool and has been slowly given control and reins over their education. And so he will get started. I try to get him to start by 8:30. And our goal is always to be done with any type of formal learning by noon. And it was always like that either in elementary school, didn't mean that they did school from like 8:30, 9 o'clock until noon. It might've just been here and there throughout that time. But with high school by that time, usually it is between like 8:30 and 9, he'll get started and be done by noon. And included in that is time that he does his individual lessons. Some of it's on the computer, some of it's just from books. You can find him laying around in the living room. And I just kind of peek in on him. I have, whether it's house cleaning stuff or I'm working out or there's something that I'm kind of doing, and I just peek in on him and make sure he's doing his stuff. And he's learned to be motivated. They know that my kids always knew if they got their stuff done, then they're free for the afternoon. And that's really the goal. So the afternoon, then he spends on whatever he wants to do. Right now he's in his room. I said, can you please use, you know, plug in the headphones to the record, like, I don't know what they call, like it's a piano, electric piano thing. He's writing a song or something like that. And I said, I have this podcast episode. Do you mind putting the headphones on so I don't have to hear that? So he's working on that. He's fixing up a car that we have in our garage that he bought. He might go down to our basement. He's got weights and he'll do some working out, and he's trying to start his own business now. And so there's a lot of things that he will just do. It's not just laying around all afternoon. So it's a lot of independent learning and just following his own interests and hobbies.
Oh, that's so cool. Your older kids. First, what did they need to quote unquote graduate? And was college their goal? Was a different path their goal?
So I always thought, I mean, I assumed they're going to go to college because that's what I did. That's what everybody did. You have to finish up your high school and then you go on to college so that you can get a good job, and began to kind of unlearn that. I would say 2020 really pushed me to really explore and be okay with other options. So my daughter's 21 and she took a lot of college courses online. She did dual enrollment, 11th and 12th grade of homeschool. And so she has a lot of college credits because that's what we thought she was going to do. And I was like, well, it's cheaper. It's more financially, more frugally, it's better for your wallet, we'll say, if you can do some of these courses, some of the basics during the high school years. And so she has a bunch of credits and I was like, we're going to go, maybe go on to college. But we've required all of our kids to take a gap year, some type of, whether it's a program that they go to, or it is just a little bit of space, just a gap between mom being in charge of your education to you maybe going on to college or going on to something, and have let them choose the program or choose how they want to do that year. So she did end up, let's say she would have graduated May of 2021 and then stayed home and worked, saved up a bunch of money. And she ended up in 2022 going to a gap year program, 2 semesters. And it was something that completely just totally fits her personality. And then now she's actually living and working at a ministry full time that totally fits who she is. And when you look back, the fun thing is when you look back at older kids and you look at when they were younger And you're like, ah, this all makes sense. The things that they were really interested in, that they like to do. And you're like, oh, so this is where they're going to use it and how it's going to benefit them and benefit the world. So that's her. So that's what she's doing. And so my 19-year-old then, I actually graduated him from high school a year early, knowing that he was not going to go on to college because he said, I'm not going to college. I am going to be an entrepreneur. I was like, okay. So he went on a gap year program. He spent 4 months in Africa last year, a year ago. Right now, he was there doing that. And I was like, okay, my husband and I are like, okay, 4 months in Africa, you don't have to do the rest. You know, you don't have to do the other 8 months somewhere else. Like that's a pretty immersive time of education and learning about cultures and, you know, discovering a little bit more about yourself. So he came home and now he's living at home and he is running his own business. So that's kind of, and my youngest is like, I'm not going to college. That's a waste of time. I'm going to be an entrepreneur too. So he's kind of following in his brother's footsteps, but a completely different type of business that he wants to do.
Yeah, I love that. And again, it takes a mind shift because we've all been taught that college is the way to go. And again, you look at people, myself, that graduates after 4 years of going to university and I don't know anything. Okay. But what you said was funny is you see what your kids do and then know later on that, and I always used to get in trouble for talking. So it is kind of funny that, you know, I run a podcast now, but for my 16 years in government work, I was like, what the heck am I doing? This is what I went to 4 years of school for. They're not even closely related. I don't know, but gap year program, that's an actual thing. Like that's a program called gap year program. I've never heard of it. Can you elaborate that?
Yeah. So it's just as a term to allow kids just a little bit of time. So it doesn't even have to be a whole year, but when you really think about the time after you graduate from high school, a lot of us, like you and I are saying, we felt like we had to go straight to college right away. I remember like, if you did not, I hate to say this, I can't believe I thought this. I was like, you were a loser if you just stayed home and you didn't go straight off to college. And so everybody, you had to go on to college. And so gap year is just a time to like, think about like, what do you really want to do for the next steps? Maybe it is college. Maybe you want to become a mechanical engineer. There are certain degrees in certain fields that you still have to go to college and get that degree. And so, or maybe you want to go into nursing. I don't know, whatever it is, you might still have to do that, but take that time to really think like, is this really what I want to do? Because at 18, you and I probably had ideas at 18 that we are definitely not doing. Did we think about podcasting then? Probably not. We didn't even know what it was. Didn't even know what the internet was. And so there's so many other options now. And so a gap year is a chance for a child, well, young adult at that point, to really think like, what do I want to do next? What's my next steps?
You guys know I am a big fan of the Tuttle Twins and their book series. And it looks like you're enjoying them too. Out of all of the brands that I affiliated with for my podcast, the Tuttle Twins is the most popular. If you haven't checked it out, click on the link in my show's description and give their site a visit. These books teach us real life principles in a way that kids can understand. And let's face it, that I can understand. So you will too. Your kids will be learning things like why a free market economy is the best way to lift people out of poverty, how property rights allow us to decide what's best for us and make decisions for our family, why the world is a better place because of entrepreneurs who create businesses to help serve their fellow neighbors, what socialism is and why it's so destructive to our freedoms and well-being, how the golden rule, which is treat others how you'd like to be treated, is so important to people getting along with one another, no matter where we live, what we look like, or what we believe. Their book, Education Vacation, is all about homeschooling and what a value that can be. Their books go over laws, why we have them, and what the role of government is supposed to be instead of what it is. Grab the link in my show's description and use code Cheryl40, that's CHERYL40, for 40% off books in the age 5 through 11 series. You can grab the link in my show's description. There will also be links there for Jibby Coffee, delicious lattes powered by your daily dose of functional mushrooms, organic adaptogens, and collagen protein, which is just a nice way to say it'll improve your energy, reduce fatigue, nourish your hair, skin, and nails, and support healthy digestion. You can use code Cheryl20 for 20% off of Jibby Coffee. I also have links to Earthly Wellness, which are clean, natural, and affordable health and wellness products. You can use code HOMESCHOOLHOWTO for 10% off of your first order. And I also urge you to check out Treehouse Schoolhouse. They have a nature study, supplemental curriculum, and given that springtime is now upon us, this is a perfect time to check out their springtime nature study and really become one with nature. Let's learn what's going on around us. I can't wait wait to do that one with my kids. So head on over to the show's description and grab these links. Don't forget to use the code to get your discount, or head on over to thehomeschoolhowto.com under listener discounts. Thanks for checking out the show today.
So again, like I said, it can be some type of program, and you can go online and just Google, maybe even if you want to just do something in your state, say you live in New Mexico, you can just type in New Mexico gap year program. And there might be things that come up. It takes a bit of time if there's something that you want your kids to go to and to do, or you can create your own type of gap year. Maybe it does mean that they do take some college courses online and they're living at home and they're working. It's just as an opportunity for them between finishing up your high school time, your high school education, and before you take some next steps to kind of give you some direction. But we decided it was good for them, since being homeschooled and being home a lot, it was good for them to go and do something somewhere else away from us, but in an environment that was going to grow them and help them just to kind of learn a little bit more about the world and what where they are and what their part is in it too.
Yeah, I love that. And then what solidifies that they've graduated? Did they get a GED? Was it AP tests or anything? What does that look like?
It really depends on the state. So you have to take a look at your state regulations. I'm trying to think if there's any state. There might be. I mean, I can't remember. There's so many states. I can't remember the homeschool laws of every single one.
You Some and I them, are both in New York. Yeah. So that's helpful to us.
So New York is one. Yeah. New York 49 is 49 of them. Yeah. They're on their own. Some of them, it just blows my mind where you don't even have to tell anybody that you're homeschooling or even that your child is alive. And I'm like, wow, that's really.
I love it.
I know. And then, you know, then we're here in New York. So, of course, there's a lot of laws and regulations about everything. So we do have different things you need to do. So it really depends upon the state. Now, for something like New York, they do not receive a diploma. You can't receive a diploma because the diplomas in New York are called regent diplomas. Now, for anybody listening who's not familiar with that, in high school, you would say you would take a, this is from my understanding, my kids have never been in public high school in New York. So you would say take a chemistry class. And at the end of the year, you would take a regent's exam to see how much you learn. It's kind of like a final. And if you pass that or get a certain,
that's what I took, yeah.
Okay. So you get a regent's diploma. It's because you've taken those regent's tests and you have taken enough or you've passed enough of them that you get a regent's diploma. And so that's really what it, I guess it even says on there. But if you go to any other state, say you're going to go to college in Pennsylvania, they're like, what's a regent's diploma? They're like, whatever. You know what I mean? It's a high school diploma is all they really care about. So in New York, no, you can't get a diploma. And there's a lot of states, other states that you cannot. However, and that sometimes really scares parents into not wanting to homeschool because they think they have to have a diploma from an accredited school or accredited online, and they don't. So as I was mentioning earlier, my daughter was taking college courses online. If your child plans to go to college because they need a college degree for whatever line of work they want to get into, take college courses in high school. Because when you go to apply to a college, if they see that you have taken, say, 21, 30 credits and you have straight A's, like, why wouldn't we take this child, like this, well, young adult, why wouldn't we take them? They've already proved that they can do college courses and college education. So that's always my recommendation, is if you have a kid that seems to be on a college track, to go ahead and do that so that then they have that. But a lot of colleges love homeschool kids because they know that they're a self-learner and a self-starter. So you can take, you're asking about the GED. You can take the GED. And I kind of thought about that for a little bit. I do know that sometimes in some places, unfortunately, there's a stigma that comes along with that, as if maybe you dropped out of school or you weren't smart enough to graduate. So we've kind of just kept away from that. So in New York, we can receive a letter of completion. Yeah, I think that's what it says in the regulations, from the superintendent. So as you turn everything in and then when they're done, you can request a letter of completion. The superintendent will say that you have completed your high school course of lessons, of courses. I don't know exactly what the wording is. And you can use that. And it's supposed to be, if you were to go somewhere and you needed a high school diploma, that is to be equivalent. They should look at that as an equivalent to a high school diploma.
Thank you for explaining that, because I've asked, and I know it is different everywhere, but I had never heard it explained that way for New York itself. And I bet you could get that in any state, this letter of completion.
Right.
I thought it was that you had to get a GED, and you're right. It does. I don't know why they have the stigma. They attach the stigma so that, because, mm-hmm. you know, generally it's the kids that are like, well, sitting in school doesn't make sense because I'm here learning what they're telling me I have to learn, but it doesn't have anything to do with my interests or likes or my abilities right now. So mm-hmm. the kids that yeah. got the GEDs are probably the ones that have it all figured out.
uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. Now, how did your, well, there are all three of them, the 16-year-old as well, but how did your kids feel about not being in the mainstream school as far as missing like prom and, you know, just those traditional things that you see on TV and movies that like are staples in a young kid's life? How do they deal with them? Did you do proms in a different way or that sort of thing? How did that look in your house?
Right. I hear that question from a lot of parents. I feel like it's more so dads that I hear that kind of thing from, with the parents and the homeschool parents that I work with, is they say, well, they're going to miss out on this. They're going to miss out on that. And when it's a parent who's saying that, I think sometimes we have to like really look at ourselves. Is it because we're trying to maybe relive an experience through our child and, or we really enjoyed our prom or we didn't enjoy our prom and we want our kids
You'll
to enjoy
the prom queen. I swear.
Were you a prom queen?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Me
no,
neither.
Not at all.
Yeah. So maybe they're just trying to live through their kids and yeah, want them to be prom queen or prom king. And so that's kind of one dynamic that I sometimes see. And for my kids, honestly, they didn't, I think there was the opportunity. There is an opportunity where we live and there are some parents who will put on maybe a prom and I offered my oldest to, and they were like, no. My youngest, I think if there was a prom he could go to, he would. That's just his personality. He's like, yeah, I want to go hang out with my friends and dance. And the other two were like, I don't really want to hang out with those kids, you know, and I don't really want to dance. So it maybe depends upon the kid. And you might have a child that really, that might feel like they're missing out on some things, but I tried to focus on what they were getting as opposed to what they were missing out on. And I don't know, does that answer your question?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Because there are ways, I mean, they can be invited to a prom or, you know, there's other things too, little things like Valentine's Day parties in mm-hmm. the classroom or, you know, the Halloween parade. But those are all things that we can sort of makeshift ourselves with the homeschool communities, you know, or you yep. are invited to a prom if that is something that you think your kid would enjoy. Yeah, it is funny, the nostalgia that we have looking back at it. And was it really as fun or, you know, as we remember it to be when you actually think about it? Or was it the planning of it? I know for girls, a lot of times that's more something to do. Are you going to plan for the, it's kind of like, you know, your mini version of a wedding, you know, you're planning all this stuff and it's the excitement of that. The actual event itself is just an evening, yeah, dancing. Nobody's really like, I don't remember people really dancing at the prom anyway. But I think it's media. It's what we see on, you know, these shows that they have. I don't even know what shows are out there, but I'm sure, you know, when I was growing up, it was Saved by the Bell and that sort of stuff, you know. So is that mm-hmm. what's playing into our feeling that our child is missing out? And then like when you think of what they're actually getting, it is just so much more. Just even last week, we were invited to a friend's grandparents, timeshare is Jiminy Peak the one? I don't ski. I know you do. Jiminy Peak is the one in Massachusetts. Maybe,
I don't
right?
know. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. I think it's that ski lodge, but anyway, there was a pool there, an indoor pool. And so they had a bunch of us homeschoolers over to swim for the entire day. And it's like, we were there. I'm like, well, this is fantastic because what great skills he's getting in the middle of winter, you know, to brush up on his swim skills and having so much fun. And I'm sure there was learning along the way somewhere. I don't know how you avoid drowning. But it's like, these are things that if he were in a classroom right now in kindergarten, like we'd be missing out on that stuff. So all those little things add up to so much more. Did you do any sort mm-hmm. of co-ops with your kids and how did they go? How do you feel about them?
So we did co-ops. So the funny thing is I would do a co-op and then I wouldn't do a co-op for a few years because I'd be like, I remember why I didn't want to do a co-op. So co-ops are great. Just for me, I'm just a bit more of a free bird. I love being home because I get to create our days and homeschooling allows us to create the days that we want to have. And so sometimes a co-op would cramp my style basically. And I did it at times because, so our very first year of homeschooling, we did a co-op because I felt I was like, I don't know anybody. Again, I knew that one friend. I was like, I need to get to know other people. I'd love some guidance. And it was a lot of work. I had to teach a class, and I spent so much time preparing for this class that my kids, I forced them to take my class because I was going to be doing, it's all about animals or something like that. Something I knew they'd be interested in. And I was like, I'm spending so much time on creating something for other kids, and I'm neglecting some of the things that I wanted to teach my kids and I wanted to do with my kids. So we ended up not doing it the next year, and we were fine both years. And so there's been years where we have, when we started high school with my daughter, I did a biology, we did a co-op so she could do biology in lab. And because I didn't think I could do it at home, and I watched her class and I was like, I could totally do this at home. And so we didn't necessarily bother with the high school co-ops. Now last year we did do, so maybe there's been like 3 years out of the 13 years that we've done a co-op. And last year was a high school drop-off. Like that was, I was like, oh, this is a gift for me. And I could, and he loved it. He's my very social child. And so I dropped him off and he did a class all about fallacies and rhetoric and all that kind of stuff. And then he did an algebra class. So two topics, like the algebra, I was like, yeah, let's really dive in deep with a teacher who can help you out with all of that. And then the other class, he just enjoys, we'll say, arguing, the, you know, Socratic way of arguing. So I was like, this would be good. You can argue with some other people for an hour and a half and not me. So I'm not opposed to co-ops. I think that there is a season for them for each family, or maybe not. I think we become so entrenched in saying, no, I don't do co-ops, or I have to do a co-op, I think it's where we get into trouble. So it's just as looking every single year, what's going to serve us best? Is a co-op going to serve us best? Then go ahead and do that. Understanding that it is a requirement of time. You might be teaching a lesson and it's a commitment. But again, there's some years you're like, I need that. It's good for us to get out of the house. It's one day a week that we're going to get out of the house. And there might be some seasons where you're like, I can't commit to getting out of the house that one day a week. Maybe you just had a baby, or it's just as there's just a lot going on. And so I like to tell moms to never feel guilty if you are doing it, never feel guilty if you're not doing it, and to approach every year as unique in deciding when it comes to co-ops.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're in our first year, and I joined a co-op that was like just taking off at the bottom level because the other one is maxed out at 100 kids. So they just, you know, a neighboring church kind of was trying to take the overflow, but nobody else overflowed. So it was, and I got stuck teaching gym. Like I teach Zumba, I do that as a side job. Okay. They somehow thought that that was the same and stuck me there. So there was two teenagers I had for an hour having to teach gym to. And I'm like, no, I was the one in gym that like sat in the corner, asked, like hoping that I wasn't picked for anything. So it was awful, but luckily there was a kid there. And I wonder if he was on his gap year because he had been in Africa as well, but he was here at this ministry from Wisconsin, and he saved me because he did all these youth group, like gym activities with the kids, because you can't play dodgeball with two kids. I mean, you can, but after 5 minutes, they're done.
It's done. It's over.
Yeah, they want to move on to something else. So luckily, this kid from Wisconsin was there, and he had all these youth group games. And I'm like, wow, I feel like I missed out. I was planning the prom while he was doing youth group games and doing all this fun stuff. So that's cute too. But yeah, so now I just got an email that the spring session is starting up, and now I'll be teaching something about like heroes in the Bible. I, you know, have, again, like, like you were saying, I have to now like learn and get the curriculum. They told me what I'll be teaching.
Did your son enjoy the co-op? What class did he take?
So yeah, they kind of rotate them. There was only like two other kids in it. So like he complained about going. I think he was all right when he was there. I'm sure there's so many different types of co-ops too. And it's like finding where it fits. But, you know, I thought getting in at the ground would be nice because then like you have a say in kind of how things go. But I can see where it's stressful too.
Yeah. And it might grow, especially if it's an overflow from that one. You might notice that it really grows. Like that co-op that last year we did, that high school drop-off one, it was very easy to get into. It was the first year that they had done that. And they have tripled their enrollment this year. So sometimes it's like that first year that people don't really know about it. And then they learn about it. And so maybe it'll grow this spring for you.
It'll be more than just
fingers crossed.
How did you start, like get into your podcast and start that? What made that spark your interest?
I've always been passionate about the homeschooling since I started it. And so I was always, we'll say I was always trying to convert people to homeschooling, trying to convert my friends. I gave up on them because they were pretty, you know, they didn't want to do it. If they were going to do it, they're going to do it. So I had been, we moved to New York almost 9 years ago and bought an old farmhouse and started fixing it up. And I had no friends or anything. And I was like, well, I'm going to start a blog so that my mom and my aunts basically could see what, you know, that's the only people that read a blog when you first start out. So they can see what we're doing and I can just share projects and how we're fixing it up. And so I was doing that for quite a few years and it was just fun, made a little bit of money sometimes here and there. And then in 2021, I was like, I feel like there's like we're on the cusp of something here. It might have been 2020. I don't remember if it was 2020 or 2021. Like, I feel like we're on the cusp of something here, like something big with homeschooling. And I want to be there to help out and I want to be there to encourage moms. And so I just was like, okay, let's make this shift. Let's shift from the home decor and all that kind of stuff and the projects, which I still love to do. That's like my creative outlet on the side. But I was like, let's switch to the homeschool thing. And so I started just kind of online on social media, just helping homeschool moms just through that. And then it was like 2 years ago and I was like, I'm going to start a podcast. That sounds like fun because I can just sit. I mean, now, you know, I'm actually dressed, but usually when I do podcasts all alone, you know, up here, I'm actually in my daughter's bedroom. She's not living at home. So I'm like, this is perfect to be able to use this space for it. But I'm in my pajamas and my hair's all, you know, whatever. And I'm looking like a mess. So the podcasting is kind of a good way for me to just kind of incorporate throughout the day. And I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed being able to encourage families because I'm seeing a huge increase in homeschoolers and interest in homeschooling and a bit of the stigma being taken out of it. And yeah, so I just kind of was like, I'm going to do this. And it's been 2 years and it's been a blast. I enjoy podcasting. I feel like you enjoy it too, right?
Oh yeah. I learned so much because I'm coming at it from the other end where like you have the advice to give, but I'm at it like, oh my gosh, can I even do this? I need all the advice I can get. And so I was kind of like drilling these homeschool people that I met just, and it's funny because you said in the beginning, I didn't know anyone but my one friend that homeschooled. But I feel like it's like when you actually look for them, they're everywhere. It's just, they're not at the public school settings. That is where you normally meet people when you have kids in public school, or traditional school. So yeah, I feel like everyone I meet now is either like, oh, my sister homeschools or, oh, my neighbor homeschools or Facebook groups. Everybody lives right around you that, oh, you, mm-hmm. yeah, you're down the road. So I was meeting these people and just asking them like, you know, 30 questions. And then one day was like, well, if I want to know it, other people want to know it too, right? So let's just put that in a podcast. And my husband, it might've been the first time that he was like, oh, you had a good idea. Normally he's like,
oh no,
no. That's too expensive. That's too much work for me. No.
I get that. That's too expensive sometimes too.
So that's cool. Have you ever had your kids on your podcast?
I have not. Maybe I should.
That would be fun.
I have a homeschool course. I have a homeschool course and I have them in that sharing about their experience, but not necessarily on the podcast. I've kind of kept them. So when I started blogging and on Instagram, I had them very much out there and I've just pulled back, we'll just say, in the past couple of years. And I don't really necessarily have them out there as much, especially as they get older and just want them to have their privacy and safety kind of a little bit too. Mm-hmm. And so it feels a little, I don't know. And some people have different convictions about it than I do. And that's okay. I think we just really have to follow what our convictions are and what we're kind of seeing. And even though they're like, it's okay, mom, you can whatever. I was like, no, I feel like I'm seeing a bigger picture here and want to kind of protect your privacy and who you are. But again, the moms who listen to my podcast, they're not going to come and stalk my kids or anything like that. So I'm not necessarily worried about that. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little too, like my husband's like, I feel like you could relax a little bit about it. I'm like, I don't know. Just something just doesn't feel right about it anymore. So I've kind of pulled back.
It's different when they're little and you're like, look at how cute they are. You know, they're hugging each other. And then when they're like real people, I get that totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of want to respect them as people, as persons, or as opposed to just, you know, these little kids that are here with me. I mean, obviously they're still your kids, but it changes. And maybe that's what the shift is just them becoming young adults and wanting to let them have, I mean, we're all going to have some type of digital footprint online. Let them create their own as opposed to me creating one.
Yes. And that's a hard part as well. And so to kind of round out the hour, how have you managed screens? Because your kids were really in that generation of time where it went from like screens were, you know, just kind of something in the background, you had some TV on, and then now to where it's like literally attached to your wrist on a smart watch. So how did you handle that, and what did you allow, and how did it work out?
Yeah, we've been very conservative on this, and maybe some people don't want to do it like this, but I just felt like it didn't hurt to hold off on screens.
Are you trying to pick a curriculum but feel a little overwhelmed at the variety of options? Me too. I mean, how do you pick a curriculum when you don't know what each one has to offer? That's been my biggest problem. Well, I am here to help. I just launched a premium content series. Psst, that means it's $3 a month, which will just help cover the cost of running the podcast. In my curriculum series, I interview homeschooling students and parents and curriculum creators about specific curriculum each week so that you can take the guesswork out of your curriculum choices. I'll be asking questions like, what does the day-to-day look like with this curriculum? What does it cover from a bird's eye view? How long does one lesson take to complete? How many lessons does the curriculum contain, and what does it cost? Did you have to order the book, or could you download them and print them somewhere like your library? Does this curriculum have a lot of games, writing, or crafts? And did your child enjoy this curriculum? Can you do it with more than one child at a time? And if I did this curriculum with my child, would I need to add any sort of supplements to it? These are all questions that I've had while I search for the perfect curriculum to suit my son's personality and my expectations. Let's face it, there is no one curriculum out there that will work best for every child and adult. So I invite you to join me in my search to find out what every curriculum has to offer so that you can feel confident in your curriculum choices and enjoy your homeschooling journey that much more. Right where you find all of the Homeschool How To podcast episodes, you'll see my curriculum series, and you can subscribe today.
And so, yeah, you're right. We were kind of with Eb growing up, it moved from just being your screen was your TV was really it. And so when they were little, we would watch PBS cartoons, and that was kind of it. Maybe some, we had VCRs and buy some tapes at garage sales. And that was really the only interaction that they had with screens. And yeah, as things have really progressed in the past 13 years, as we all know, and we just decided that we were going to hold off. And my oldest, this is going to sound crazy, but again, this is just her personality. She didn't have her first phone until she was 18. So just a couple years ago. And she does not, it's not like of really important to her. She has no social media. That's of her own choice. And it just really wasn't important. We had gotten it for her because she started driving places and I wanted to be able to, and she forget to text me when she get there. And then here I am worried because here she is, this 18-year-old young woman on her own driving somewhere, even if it's just 20 minutes away. So we ended up getting her an iPhone so we could put Life 360 on and I could see, okay, she's arrived there. She's gotten inside the building because she would, I'm like, what's the point of being able to keep a track of where she is if I have to get in my car and her driving on her own? So I don't have to drive her. And then I have to drive down to dance class to make sure she got there. That's kind of doesn't seem to jive. So she has chosen not to have social media. And we did have a family phone for a while. It was like an iPhone 4 that my mom had. And it was funny because my now 19-year-old started working at a grocery store at 15. And he would take it with him. It was like our family phone. And it had, you could text, you could call, and there was a compass on it. And that was pretty much it. And so the kids at this grocery store would be like, what kind of phone's that? He's like, oh, it's super high tech. You guys don't even, you know, can't even handle this or anything. So he kind of learned to just sort of make jokes about it. And because it can feel awkward. And I knew that it would feel awkward for them. And I felt like it also made them stronger to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't, I don't have the internet on this or something like that. And so he ended up, we've moved to Gab phones then was the next step for him. And that worked fine, but it was a negative to his business that he was doing. He was missing calls. If he turned his phone off at night, we required them when they're living at home to turn everything in by like 8 o'clock. I mean, he's a young adult now. We don't necessarily require him, but everything had to be turned in into our room by 8 o'clock at night. And they didn't have access to anything overnight. So he had a Gab phone. So he turned it off. We put it in our room and he would miss calls if anybody texted or called after that time. And so we moved him then to an iPhone. And the thing is that iPhones now have so many parental controls that I didn't know was there. So I was really nervous about moving him to it. And so there are parental controls. I did a ton of research on on how to do that. And so now he's just, I mean, he's 19, he's on his own, and by his own choice, he does have some social media, but doesn't go on there very much. He's so into his business, so into the entrepreneurship, and he has these huge goals. And if he's on fooling around on social media, he's not going to reach those goals. So he's put on his own blockers on everything. And I also have on both kids, we use Covenant Eyes to, it captures like screenshots of things that they do. And I get a report every single day about it. And then my youngest, he has a Gab phone now. And, you know, he's learning to that it's okay to say, I'm sorry, my phone doesn't receive photos. My phone can't be on group texts. And maybe we're a little bit prudish, but my thought behind it was that I wanted my kids to know what it was like to live without being in constant communication and with other people, or constant need of finding information, that it's okay to wait a little bit and later on we can sit down and we can Google stuff and look things up. I just wanted them to know that it was okay to just be with their thoughts and just to do things instead of having to constantly. So he's out working on his car and he'll go out there for an hour, hour and a half, and he's just working on it for an hour, hour and a half. How many times does social media interrupt? If you say, I know I find this for myself, and I'm saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to just clean for an hour, and I'll be like, oh, I wonder what's going on Instagram, and pull up my phone or something. And then I just lost 10 minutes. So my thought really was just for them to know that there is life outside of screens and social media, and that it's okay and it can be really, really good. So that's a long answer to your question. Do you have any like specifics maybe that I missed there?
No, it's perfect. And the irony is that, you know, if you as a podcaster and, you know, with your business, you kind of are required to be on social media to promote that. And so, you know, I fight that battle internally all the time where I tell my son, you know, no, you've had enough screens today. And, you know, he's like, well, you're on yours. And, you know, not that he's saying it in a disrespectful way, but yeah, it's like, well, I look up to my parents. If I see you doing it, I want to do it too. And it's so hard. And sometimes I just have to say to him, listen, we didn't have the stuff that there is now. When mommy was growing up, it was just one TV, like in the living room, you know, to even have one in your bedroom was like kind of unheard of, or, you know, not until you're older. And so now to have the iPads and the phones and all this stuff, it's like the constant bombardment just was not there when we were a child like it is now. So yeah, it's definitely a battle. I think most parents are fighting, you know, am I on it too much? How can I expect my kid to be on it less when I'm also on it, but for other reasons? And then, yeah, you go to do something for, okay, I have to write a post because, you know, I have to promote the podcast, but then you get sidetracked because, oh, look at that. I want to like that. And what did the people say in the comments? And it's terrible. Yeah. Again, it's a tangled web that they have woven for us. Yeah. We have to fight our way out.
Yeah. And I think that I've often heard, well, maybe not often, but I have heard, well, if you're not giving it to them, how are they going to know how to navigate it? I can tell you right now, my kids figured it out real quick. I mean, you can give any kid a phone and they're going to figure things out very quickly and I think that's part of it too, is they don't. So think you get a brand new phone, you spend X amount of money on it and you're just so worried, you don't want to do something wrong on it. But you give the child that same phone, they didn't pay X amount of money. They'll figure out everything in no amount of time. And I've just been firsthand witness of them just figuring things out, and they know how to do more things than. So my 19-year-old, who's pretty much running a lot of his business, has to do a lot of it on his laptop, a lot of phone calls, a lot of stuff. And he's figured it all out. And so my 16-year-old figured it all out too. I actually took him to a library program, maybe it was a year or two ago, where they built a computer. So he knows like how to build a computer. And so I'm like, okay. I mean, that's more than I need to know, or I even care to know. You know, he'll be like, did you know? I'm like, no, I didn't know that. I don't know if I need to know all that about the insides of a computer, but he's figured things out and we still have parameters. So he actually uses that computer for some of his school lessons and has Covenant Eyes on it. And my husband, it's in his office. So my husband kind of keep an eye on what he's sort of up to. And we just have a lot of conversations about what's out there on the internet and how it can suck you in and what are the negative things. But then there's also so many great things. Like, look at you and I being able to have this conversation. And so looking at the internet as a tool that we can use, and how can we use it? So instead of it using us.
Yeah. And on the to go right along with, there are bad things on the internet and the addiction to them, But there's actually synapses in our brain. And when a young brain is, you know, forming, a young mind is forming, it's making connections on the amount of screen changes that it sees per second. And so then if you're so used to that, then when you get to like reading a book or just being out in nature or having a face-to-face conversation with someone, your brain is actually causing you anxiety because it's used to that constant screen change and it's not getting that. So then we have, you know, ADD and anxiety and all those other things that, that go along with it. So yeah, especially as they're young, we can't, you know, feel bad saying mommy's on this for a reason. You have a little bit more time. Okay. Or like my husband's old Nintendo 64 hooked up in the basement. So he plays Mario Kart on Nintendo 64 sometimes, but it's like, I'm fine with it because it's not connected to an internet. It's not on a smart TV. There's no way anyone can contact him through that. And it moves so slowly.
That's so funny. I've heard that about how, I mean, you think about even just on Instagram, and if you've done any type of like market research or any type of marketing and you're trying to promote things, they'll give you specific amounts of time. Like people's attention span is like 6 seconds. If you don't get them, capture them within 6 seconds, they'll swipe on by and they'll be gone. And that's dropped from, it used to be longer. Now it's just less and less. And I've heard that about cartoons with kids, that the screen changes are very, very short, just a couple of seconds to the next one. And so, yeah, it affects their brain.
Mm-hmm. It's scary stuff. And imagine what in 10, 15, 20 years it'll be like too. It is, I think you're doing the right thing. I hope I can implement something similar.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to be the one who's saying, it's hard to say no so many times, especially when, and then you have to navigate when all their friends have things and you don't know what their friends are looking at. And so that sometimes can be a tricky thing. And, you know, where are they? They're going to a friend's house and they're watching what they have on their screens. And so, yeah, there's a tricky balance. There's a lot to navigate and to walk through. And it's okay to be like, hey, let's, you know, you don't really know what their rules are. Let's go meet at a park and we can all play outside, as opposed to you being at their house alone watching who knows what.
Yeah, man, that is hard. We think over Sorry, here, like, oh my gosh, we're trying to just learn the CH sound and
sorry to give you more stress and more anxiety.
No, it really is though. It's all stuff that you have to think about. We kind of just go through life so quickly and don't really take a step back and think about what's going on, but it makes a lot of sense. And it sounds like you've found yourself on the right path, even though you were public schooled. Yeah.
I know.
Nellie, where can people find you if they want to listen to the podcast or follow you on social media?
Sure. So the name of my podcast is Little by Little Homeschool. So you can find that on any podcast app. And then website is littlebylittlehomeschool.com. And that'll take you to everything there. I mean, I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well. When I haven't deleted it from my phone, I find myself sometimes like, I just got to delete this from my phone. But I'm still there. You can still find stuff.
Oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think about deleting it from the phone, but you can still access it from a computer. Oh, that's smart.
You can. Ooh. And you can put it back on. Like if I want to put up stories or something, I'll put it back up and I'll take a look at the time so that then maybe afterwards I feel guilty. Like you just wasted 15 minutes. You could have been doing something else. It should have only taken you 1 minute. So there's some times that I do. I currently have it off of my phone because I have a lot of projects that I'm trying to work on with just different things. And I have found so much more time in my day now that I don't have those social media apps on my phone.
Oh, interesting. Or even just taking off the notifications and saying like, mm-hmm. nope, I check it from 9 to 9:30 and that's it. And then that way you're not even notified. So you don't have that lure. What was that documentary they put on Netflix or something? The Social Experiment, I think it was called.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yes. There's actually like a whole marketing strategy behind the notification. Yeah. That was a good one. If anyone mm-hmm. hasn't checked that out, I think it was called The Social Experiment. Yeah. All right. Well, Lee, thank you so much. This has been so helpful today. And I think people really enjoy this. So I thank you for all of your knowledge and great job with your kids. Sounds like they are on a good path.
Cheryl, thank you. That is very sweet. This has been fun to talk to you. And let me just tell you, yes, you can homeschool and you are going to do a really, really good job. Your kids are going to be amazing, and they're blessed that you want to do this. I think as long as you decide you want to do it, you can do it.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll let you know in 16 years when my son is graduating if he agrees.
He will. He will. He might not always appreciate things, but he will. I promise.
Thanks, Lee.
Yeah, we'll see ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to contribute to the show, please consider leaving a small tip using the link in my show's description. Or, if you'd rather, please use the link in the description to share this podcast with a friend or on your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. Any effort to help us keep the podcast going is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in and for your love of the next generation.